Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Jack's Lantern, The Light to a Better Life. This is Donna Smith, and I'm here with Leon Mauser.
Hello, good people. Congrats for taking another step in the search for your true happiness by joining us on our podcast today.
Now, last week, we did discuss Keep Your Pants On, covering the sixth commandment.
We did, didn't we?
We did. And thou shalt not commit adultery. And we want to remind everyone that you can ask us questions via our website, which is drjackslantern.com. Doctor is abbreviated to DR. Or you can utilize our wonderful private meetings. Just let us know you want to do that. It's a great way to get together no matter where you live. We have virtual breakout rooms. You can gather a group together to start discussions on how to live a better life using God's letter to us, the Bible. So it is that you know, the Bible is the basis for making good decisions in our lives. God gave it to us. It's our instructions to guide us on our path back to Him. And really staying on his side, okay, against this war with Satan, with the evil one.
You know, that's because we understand it. And by using our common sense and critical thinking, it's obvious we know we're part of a spiritual war against the evil one. You know, we want you to be victorious in this spiritual battle. And I believe that you also want to be victorious. And that's why you're here today. In our belief system, as we go back to the first broadcast, that is our filters for our foundation for all our decisions. You know, it's helps us be aligned with God, and that is the key. So obeying the Ten Commandments, that's just the start of our journey of sanctification.
Right. And
which that means is you're just being set apart from others because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what sanctification means. And, you know, when we fall away from God by disobeying his commandments, we disrupt that journey of sanctification that we're on with him.
Yeah.
But because God loves us so much, and he is even forgives the most wicked of sins, only if we go to him in forgiveness, if we go to him and we confess with a promise, with our heartfelt promise, not to do that sin again. You know, we just remember God, he is full of grace, and he does delight in his mercy to us.
That's right, Leon. And we want to remind everybody, we're trying to get you on that path. Doesn't mean we haven't fallen away, but he has a way for us to come back to him. His forgiveness, his mercy is always there. Now, this week, we are discussing the seventh commandment. And that is, thou shalt not steal, or as we say, I'm just borrowing it. Yes, okay. As we mentioned in previous podcasts, I think it was just the last one, Louisiana just signed a bill that mandates the Ten Commandments being posted in the schools. And I wanted to let everybody know that I'm really happy to say that two other states, Texas and Oklahoma, have also stated their plans to do the same. But maybe we should take a minute to explain what the opposition's view of this is. In not allowing the Ten Commandments to be in schools and point out how erroneous they are. This is wrong. Their claims are wrong that it goes against the First Amendment of the separation of church and state. That's not what it says.
You know, what it does say, Donna, in the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, it prevents the government from making laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise of religion. Or abridging the freedom of speech, etc., the freedom of press. But you understand how they have twisted this law to separate the states and the religions. You know, I thought if we would just try to justify by breaking the sixth commandment, the seventh commandment tops the list for more excuses than anything else.
Yes, there are so many excuses, and it, you know, it really kind of falls back right into what Satan's plan is for us. You know, he wants to, he just twists it, like we talked about before, that 1 degree. You know, when you're flying a plane and you're going from New York to California, L.A., you go off 1 degree, you aren't anywhere close to L.A. You're probably in Washington State. You know, I mean, that's how, and one of these days I should just go ahead and do that on the map to see, because I'm not sure what it is. It's that big of a difference, especially over time. And Satan has been working this country and other places really very, very hard since 1948 when Israel became a nation, because that's prophecy. That's in the Bible. Those excuses, you know, and trying to twist things and make it so, oh, yeah, that's against the First Amendment, so you're not supposed to put the commandments in. It's got nothing to do with saying you can't have a freedom of speech. You can't. You're supposed to. We're not forcing anybody to be of that religion, which is part of the reason that they came up with that. You know, they wanted to not have a government force, this is the religion you're supposed to believe, this is how you're supposed to do it. So, you know, the excuses are abounding on this particular commandment. We talked about the sexual passions from the last one. that is probably the most difficult to tame.
Right.
Okay. It is the strongest, well, to reiterate, that's the strongest will God gave us, right after the will to do, you know, to survive. But thou shalt not steal should not be so difficult to control. And yet people have so many excuses.
A lot of second thoughts not happening because of it. You know, the act of stealing for teens, it's often driven by certain factors, including peer pressure. Now, if you're under peer pressure to steal something, why would you want to be with that group of people?
Right.
How about, financial need is always there. Or thrill seeking. Now, that's the underlying emotional thing going on there. If you just get thrills out of stealing things, you have psychological issues, and I believe you need to talk to someone about that. But
yes.
Just for teenagers, here are some of the other common ways that teenagers might steal. Shoplifting, that's an impulsive thing. Or stealing money from family members and rationalize it as borrowing. But what about plagiarism? That's often done in an academic setting, but not necessarily. And if you're writing anything, it's a copying someone else's work and claiming it's your own. You know, some of the modern ways of theft, of stealing, that teenagers may get involved in is, of course, identity theft. There's digital piracy, you know, and online fraud, all of which are usually done without a second thought. These things are so commonplace anymore, people don't think about that they're stealing, but they are.
That's right. We're actually going to cover several of those that you brought out when we go through the excuses and why it's still wrong. You know, as a kid, you can ask them, and they will say why they shouldn't steal. They'll come up with all kinds of reasons. I've done this before, and this is some of the reasons that they've come up with is, you know, oh, well, that upsets somebody. We're not supposed to, because then all of a sudden we won't trust each other. Very good comment, and it's true. Then you're not going to trust each other. But, you know, the bottom line, Leon, is you shouldn't steal because God said not to. That's why. It's not just the Ten Commandments. He goes over and over in the Bible. There are so many Bible verses. Deuteronomy 16:20 says, follow justice, and justice alone shall be your aim, so that you may live and possess the land of the Lord your God has given you. So, no, that's the reason.
Another one, Leviticus 19, you shall not defraud or oppress your neighbor or rob him. Again, there's so many of these in the Bible. I'm wondering, can you find some more verses in the Bible and discuss these with your friends about the ways that the Bible tells you it's wrong to steal?
They won't have to look too far, and please do. I mean, there's so many parts in the Bible that talk about not stealing and the punishments on it. But let's take another, let's just kind of stop for a second. We've been talking about the Ten Commandments, and since we're talking about excuses, there are people who perceive that by following these commandments, by the fact that they've been given to us, it's a burden to them. They say it cuts their freedom. It enslaves them to an external force. But you know what? Just the absolute opposite is true.
Yes.
When we accept the commandments, it sets us free. It sets us free from the struggle with our own internal, which remember God wrote these laws on our heart, our more primitive drive towards our selfishness. We are eliminating that strife, that stress of the guilt-ridden agony, and we replace it with peace in our character, our psyche, by following these commandments.
Can you envision the world without the Bible? I mean, where would we be as humans? Probably not too many steps ahead of the apes as far as that's concerned. But, you know, God has given us the ability to free ourselves from it because he loves us that way. He wants us to make good decisions. He wants us to have that love for him that can't be replaced by anybody else. And when you're envisioned without a Bible, I can just see we wouldn't have been lasting this long as a human race.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And again, people might say, oh, you're just like a robot, okay, by doing this. And it's when I'm like, no. We all have free will, okay? God gave us free will. And every choice in our lifestyle, if we want something, if we need it, it is our free will, our constructive and creative effort to find a way to make that happen. So we still have free will.
That's right, we sure do. And remember from our previous podcasts, that free will intervenes with us when we have those three C's happening in our life all the time. And to remind you, those three C's are circumstances, choices, and consequences. Now, those circumstances may not be yours alone, but they still have to have choices that you have to make in order to be going ahead and get the consequences that you're looking for. So you can make all the excuses you want. But in the end, you've got to deal with those circumstances because your choice is going to call for them. You know, God tells us in this commandment that he wants us to respect other people's property.
Yes. Just as he told us not to murder, okay, we are all his children. He made us in his image. And when we legitimately acquire something because we earned it, it was a gift, we inherited, we purchased it, or even trade it, then it becomes an inanimate part of us. And this commandment is dealing with that.
Again, I pose a question to you. If you are in a loving relationship with another person, would you steal from them? I mean, God sees you as his shining light. And if you love like Jesus loved you, and Jesus told you, love one another like I have loved you, how would you not respect other people's possessions?
Yes, so true. And you know what? It does not matter what a person's financial status is, the situation that they have. God did not make a difference. Well, if you're poor, then you get to do this. You get to break this commandment. No, restitution is not based on the ability to pay. If we go to Exodus 22, verse 2, you will see that he literally puts in, everyone is supposed to obey this commandment. And there are ways in the Bible to just where, you know, it talks about the landowner and he says leaving the end of the crop to be taken for the poor person. But they still have to work for it because it's not harvested and just left there. It's not harvested, so they have to harvest it. So it doesn't matter what your financial situation is. Thou shalt not steal. Applies to
you know, in Leviticus 19:15, it also says, you shall not do injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness, you shall judge your neighbor.
Right. So again, whether you're poor or not, you still have to follow that. I have to admit, Leon, I'm surprised at how even I felt into the trap long time ago when people say, you know, poor, you know, oh, well, we'll give them an excuse because they're starving, you know. And it's one of those, we have always had the poor. We have always had the poor from the very beginning. It's in the Bible talking about the poor. And you're not supposed to steal. That's what God says. Here we're living in Florida. So I like this particular story because it happened in Florida in 1997. And there was a homeless woman and her child. and how she was, she brought her child up right. She is in a shelter, okay? She does not have any money. The kid knows they don't have any money. And he finds a wallet on the ground, and he goes about trying to find the owner and turns that in. And people, when they found out about it, that's why I know about it, because it was in the press, because when they turned it in, it was like, wow, look at this young kid who, you know, still did the right thing. And they asked the mother about it, and they asked the child. And it was like, that's what you're supposed to do. Thou shalt not steal. What in the world? I'm going to teach my kid differently? And even the kid said, hey, maybe nobody else would have known that I had it, but I would have known, and I know that's wrong.
And, you know, Donna, when you do a good thing for someone, the Holy Spirit rewards you with a good feeling inside. And I think that's the way that mother was raising her child, as to have that good feeling, the one that the Holy Spirit gives you when you go according to God's laws, when you're in the journey of sanctification. Those are the things that make you happy in life that you can't find anywhere else. And, you know, Dr. Jack, he says, as your circumstances may change, but the rules stay the same.
That's right. And I wish we had more time, because there are thousands upon thousands of stories that we know about people and how they felt after doing something good, like you said, with the Holy Spirit. You know, let's talk about some of these excuses. And it's crazy to think that when a person says, I did it for a good reason, and they don't realize by saying something like that, you are elevating the sin, the crime, to a higher purpose. And that is not right. God put them in the way it should be. And it leads to other excuses. For instance, I didn't know it was hot. In other words, they didn't know it was stolen. Okay. The fact that they paid $100 for a $2,000 item and it came out of the back of a van has nothing to do with it. I laugh because this really is going back to that conversation that we've had before in other podcasts about the sin of omission and commission. Maybe you didn't commit the crime, but if you are omitting by promoting it, by buying from someone that's doing something like that, you are just as guilty. The whole idea is to put those thieves out of business. If they don't have a market to sell those stolen goods, guess what? They're not going to steal anymore.
You're right, Donna. Absolutely. We need to put them out of market too. But, you know, I always say that excuses are like buttholes. You know, everybody has one. They all stink. But when you talk about finders keepers, you know, that goes way back to the Old Testament. If you found it, you keep it. That's not right. That's not necessarily. Look what the little boy did with the wallet. Mm-hmm. You know, Deuteronomy 22:1 says, you shall not see your brother's ox or sheep going astray and ignore them. You shall take them back to your brother. You know,
so
Exodus 23:4 says the same thing.
So that the whole saying finders keepers is not a new thing. This all goes back to the Bible from the very beginning. Another excuse that people like to put on is, I'm not hurting anyone. You know, typically they're referring to a big company, you know, they can afford it, they can handle it. We can talk about insurance fraud probably being the number one thing. People claiming that they lost something when they didn't. It cost them more than they did. Or they find the item that they were given money for and they don't turn that back in. Okay, that is not, that's just one of many things with big company. Oh, we live in a world with Universal and Disney. What about the one with age? You know, there's an age rule of getting in to the park. If you're under 3, Disney allows you to go free. I don't know if it's Universal's the same, but they do have an age limit. How many parents are teaching their kids to lie by saying, don't tell them you're 4 or 5? You know, don't lie, but no, that's stealing. It's stealing, and it does affect all of us.
I never saw a 4-foot-tall 3-year-old. I don't know.
Well,
maybe you see him.
I actually, there was. I had a friend of mine who had a pretty large baby, and people couldn't understand why she was having these little temper tantrums and stuff, because she was tall and big for her age. People thought she was 3 or 4. And the mother's like, she's only two. So, you know, there's a whole different mindset with, you know, age. So it does happen, but it is teaching a kid to steal when you do that. There's no doubt about that.
You know, the devil tells you if you want to borrow money without paying it back, borrow it from a pessimist. They won't expect it back.
Well, that's another example where the devil is just trying to twist things a little bit so that it makes you do something wrong. You know, stealing is still stealing. It doesn't matter. You know, that kind of goes back to he deserves it. You know, I don't get that. I mean, what? He spit at you, and therefore he deserves this for you to take his car, or he cut you off. I don't understand when they say I deserve it. That doesn't make sense. And you know, we talk about our character a little too here. When you're, you know, whether it's a big company, whether you're saying a person deserves it or whatever, there's character behind this. There was a pro basketball player. His name was Chris Webber, and he had a contract with Nike. Big money. I mean, that's where most of the pro players are making their money, is from the endorsements of these big companies. Mm-hmm. And do you know he canceled that contract? He would not. He didn't want them to charge so much money for their tennis shoe that they were promoting to inner city kids, because Chris Webber was going to these inner city kids, and it cost Nike $5 to make it. They were charging well over $100, and he says, just bring the price down, and they wouldn't do it. So therefore, he cut off it. So it has to do with character. Again, that kind of goes back into the omission commission. He wasn't stealing from them, but he refused to promote the stealing, if you think about it just in that way. And
well,
he gets
a double credit for that, Donna.
Yes, with our Lord, right? Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, the name of our podcast, we said, you know, I'm just borrowing it. You know, you aren't borrowing anything. You are stealing something if the owner's not notified. So
that's
even
right.
Your brother or sister, yeah, that you're borrowing their sweater from, it until you told them, it's considered stealing. And if you do it within a household, you're going to do it outside the household. So borrowing is not an excuse until you let the owner know it's still considered stealing.
You know, everybody makes those excuses. Everybody has that type of mentality at certain points in times. But you're talking about people in groups that have a mob mentality. They go on, act on their emotions, on their impulsivenesses. They act without you thinking, because they're thinking for you. And that's a very dangerous thing to do, to be. You want to be in that type of situation, because, you know, there's a lot of danger in stupid people in large groups. And we see that every day on the news.
We really do. And I think people, again, if you think, got to go one step forward. The devil doesn't want you to think forward. So when you're doing something from a mob mentality, everybody else is doing it, or you're just going in and you're following your emotions and stuff, that is, you're following right into what the devil wants us all to do. Not think. And go on your fear of emotion, or the emotion of fear. People don't understand. Every time you go with fear, regardless, I mean, even to the sickness, we can go back to 2020 and talk about COVID. You went by fear. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants you to be fearful. He doesn't want you to be trusting our Lord. So these excuses, no.
You know, many people say, you know, all's fair in love and war and business. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. You know, it's misleading. It's false. It's if you're advertising untruths, that's wrong. But, you know, there is in Leviticus 25:14, it shows us that, hey, Leviticus 25:14 explains to us commerce in one sentence. It says, and if you make a sale to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not wrong one another. I mean, that's the definition of commerce. making exchanges where everybody wins. And it goes back to the Old Testament. So people have been doing commerce for a long time. How have people been taking advantage of commerce? In many different ways, like we've been discussing today.
Yes.
Everyone does it because, you know, in business, they go, I got to get my market share. No matter what happens, I got to get that market share.
Stealing is stealing. People a habit of doing that in the workplace. You know, you don't even have to be the owner of a company and do things like that. Love them. They'll steal paper clips. They'll steal pencils. They'll just different things within the own workplace and saying, I deserve it. I worked here. I worked over, whatever, that kind of thing. And time is the biggest one. People don't understand how much time they are stealing from their employer. Okay. And that would go from, people go, well, you know, I put in my 8 hours. I have to do a clock. I can't steal any time. Oh, yeah? How many breaks did you take? How many times did you go out to smoke or go to the restroom or go stand around the cooler? How many times did you interfere with somebody else who was trying to do their job and you were talking about your home business? That's stealing time from the company.
That's right, and it's done so often, so frequently. I mean, people are so lax in what they feel that they need to offer to their employer. And that is, well, you better read the rule book of your employer if you don't know.
Right. And, you know, going back to all of this, in Luke 16, chapter 10, you know, it people say it's just a little thing. It's just a paperclip. It's just this, whatever it is. They don't realize in the Bible, it covers that too. There's nothing new under the sun, which is another thing that's in the Bible.
Right.
And Luke 16 basically says, one who is faithful in the very little matters is also faithful in the big matters. And one who's dishonest in the very little matters is also dishonest in the big matters.
That is so true.
Yes. Yep. And just kind of a closing thought here. Even Adam and Eve had their excuses. So we go back all the way to the beginning of time. You know, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. But you know what? God still had his punishment. Okay? There was still penalties. You want to know about penalties and all the things that we have to do with stealing? It goes on and on. But Exodus 22, Numbers 5, Exodus 21. I mean, the penalties are there. So we are not supposed to steal, period. Goes back to the beginning of time.
And as far as Adam and Eve are concerned, what sin did they commit against God altogether? It was the sin of disobedience. You know, and I was asking Dr. Jack one early morning, I said, you know, why did Adam and Eve do that? You know, we can blame them for everything, can't we? And he says, you know, Adam and Eve didn't do it. One of us would have done it.
Yeah, I guess that follows back what Dr. Jack was saying, too. God puts us in difficult situations, difficulties in our path to test our love for him. It gets our attention, and it pulls us back to him. So, you know, basically to wrap up, because we are out of time and stuff, we really need to remember that, you know, we've all sinned. Leon and I can talk about the things that we did wrong, but we still have, now we know they're right, but we ask God for forgiveness. And we know that he gave us that mercy so that we can go on and now not do the wrong and do the right.
There's so much power in forgiveness.
Yes.
And don't forget when you're forgiven by God to forgive yourself.
That's right. Exactly. So I want to thank everyone for joining us today on Thou Shalt Not Steal, or as a lot of people like to say, I'm just borrowing it.
For a while.
So we hope you learned a lot, and please bow your heads, say a prayer, ask God's forgiveness, and go do the right thing. As Dr. Laura Schlesinger, that's her comment. I just dawned on me. She goes, now go do the right thing.
That's right. Do the right thing.